वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतःपर कमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साकृजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं गर्जनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्विताश्च From Vishnu Sahasranam, we gain a composite understanding of the qualities that, the qualities by which Bhagavan is known as Bhagavan, by which Vishnu specifically is known as Bhagavan. Why we should worship him, or why we are worshipping him, and why everyone should worship him. Oh, Madhu, there's one printout. You can bring that. You know what I'm talking about? That I have here every day in the commentary. Bring it quickly. So among these names of Vishnu, some are particularly significant because they, they're all significant, but they are, they describe or then in his case, non-different from the particular traits of his being that define him as being who he is, which is categorically different from others. So the name today that I'll discuss, Krishna willing, is Purusha. So there's one of those important words. And it literally means person. So you may think, well, that's not so important, because obviously he's a person. Just to say, if you describe someone as a person, well, you think, well, that's not much of a description. I mean, you already know he's a person, isn't it? Could you say, please tell us something about Mr. Chaudhary? And if you just say, well, he's a person, you think, well, that they didn't really tell us much because we already knew he's a person. But actually this word is, or name, is very significant in as much as there is a class of philosophers who wish to depersonalize him. Just like in the 20th century and continuing in the 21st century, there's a, in the Western world, there is a fear among some citizens that they will become depersonalized and just become known by, just by their number, then the number in their identification is, becomes their principal identity. There was a TV series where I remember it, before I joined the movement, that I used to watch, called The Prisoner, in which the prisoner would ask the, it was kind of funny prison, because I don't want to describe it too much, but it appeared that he was free because he was living in a village, but whenever he tried to go outside the village, he would be brought back. So he asked the person in charge, what is your name? And he would say, I am number two and you are number six. And then he would reply, I am not a number, I am a free man. So the idea of depersonalization is horrible for us, that we simply become a number, or just one number among others. But the Mayavadis, they want to depersonalize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, significant about a person, we may say, well, Mr. Chaudhary, he's a person. You may say, well, I know that, tell me some more. So person means they have specific qualities that distinguish them from other persons. So if we say, tell me more about Mr. Chaudhary, it means we want to hear about the specific characteristics of him which distinguish him from other persons. He is 29 years old. He is a resident of Chennai, so that distinguishes him from other Mr. Chaudhuries, because it's a fairly common name, Chaudhary. What else? He's an engineer. What else would he be in Tamil Nadu? He is a Capricorn, according to Western astrology, which I don't think people here in India follow, but that would, anyway, they'd say he's a Vata type, as compared to a Pitta or Kapha type. He likes watching cricket. That doesn't distinguish him very much from other Indians, but anyway, there are certain characteristics which describe his personality. Person means personality. This is very important, because the Mayavadis, they want to say, Vishnu, even though they'll also chant his names, they want to say that ultimately he has no qualities, which makes you wonder why they bother to chant his names. They worship, as Srila Prabhupada calls it, the philosophized Vishnu. They worship Vishnu, but they philosophize him into practical non-existence. Now, that he is a person doesn't seem that, well, you know, what's so great about him, because everyone's a person. But just the word before this, or the name before, was avyayaha, which means indestructible, eternal, undiminishing, which sets him apart from others. He's a person, but without the defects of persons in this material world. This is what the Mayavadis can't understand. They think if someone is, or if an entity is avyayaha, is indestructible, then it cannot be any entity of this material world, which is correct. And they think it's so categorically different from anything of this material world that it cannot have any qualities or characteristics, because everything that within our experience that has qualities and characteristics is material, everything is subject to destruction, and therefore they conclude that Brahman is not a person, because every person that we've seen has either died or is subject to death. However, that here in Vishnu Sahasranam, the words avyayaha and purusha are juxtaposed means exactly that. He is a person, but he doesn't die. He's eternal. So in other words, although he's a person, he is of in a completely different category. In one sense, he is in the same category as all other persons, but in other sense, he's not. This here, the Gaurīya understanding, achintya bheda bheda, this comes into play. He's Atma, but he's Paramatma. He's Purusha, but he is not subject to death, and he's also not subject to birth. So he's not subject to birth either. So by this very name, Mayavad is refuted. And also materialistic conceptions of God are also refuted. In Christianity, the conception of God used to be as that of an old man, because God is perceived as the creator of the world, and obviously the world was created a long time ago. So because they do not have transcendental knowledge or information of the nature of the personality of Godhead, they think that because he's very old, he must have a long beard. And in fact, he's portrayed in the Sistine Chapel, in the Vatican Basilica, in Vatican City in Rome, which is the heart of the largest and what claims to be the original Christian church. God is portrayed as an old man with a long white beard. So this is a materialistic conception of God. He is Purana Purusha. He is very old, but at the same time, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Ananta Rupam Adyang Purana Purusha Navayovanam Cha Videshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. He is the original person. He's an old person, but he's not old in the way old persons are old in this world, because he's not subject to time. Even though he's old, he remains always fresh and young. Navayovanam, always fresh and young. So the materialistic concept of God is as that of an old man, or this conception is rejected in Islam of him being a person. And so going from one materialistic speculation about God to another, they deny his personality altogether. So both considering God to be a person in a materialistic way and rejecting that materialistic conception of him without factual knowledge of him, both conceptions are at best incomplete and imperfect. So actually, as Srila Prabhupada often said, for the first time in the Western world, actual knowledge, we are introducing actual knowledge of the nature of God. So therefore, it's important to discuss these qualities and characteristics of him. And people who are actually sincere in understanding God, who are from other traditions, they should be able to recognize that here is first-class theology. Like Ravindra Saruprabhu, he was at university studying world religions or some other boring subject. Something like that, something to do with religious studies. And he got the Ishopanishad, and he just read the first verse that Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purna Eva Vashishate. Actually, it's not the first verse, it's the invocatory verse. So that the Supreme Lord is complete and perfect, and although this is again avyayaha, this describes avyayaha, even though so many perfect and complete units emanate from him, he is not depleted in any way. He remains perfect and complete. So on reading this, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu at that time understood that this is first-class theology. So anyone who's sincere will appreciate that. And actually there are various Christian pastors who read Prabhupada's books and they incorporate that knowledge into their sermons, although they should actually just recognize that there's, once you get the knowledge of Srila Prabhupada's books, there's no need to continue with that, you know, antiquated theology of Christianity, which is more or less a medieval blending of paganistic ideas with what they revived from the ancient Greeks and stuck it all together. Anyway, let's not get too much into criticizing Christianity here. So this term Purusha, we'll find it repeatedly in Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam. It means person, so in Bhagavad Gita, sometimes it means the individual soul in the material world. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunai karnam guna sangosya sadasadyoni janmasu. This clearly from the context refers to the conditioned soul in the material world. I hope you all know the meaning of that verse. No, I suppose you don't all. So it means that the Purusha here clearly from the context means the conditioned soul is situated within material nature and is enjoying the three modes which are generated from that material nature. And due to association with that material nature, gets favorable or desirable and undesirable births. So clearly this refers to the conditioned soul. But then there are many instances, uttama purushatvanya paramatmetu, or purushaṁ śāśvatam divyam. What is that? Janati purusha yomameva samuto janati paramam purusham divyam yati pata anuchintayam. So there are many instances in Bhagavad Gita where it specifically refers to the Supreme Person. Now, another important meaning of the term Purusha, generally it means person, but another important meaning is male person, as distinguished from female. And the connotation here is that is of Purusha, male, and Prakriti, female. And here the connotation of Purusha is the enjoyer and Prakriti as the enjoyed. These two concepts of Purusha and Prakriti are that on which the philosophy of Sankhya is based, which we find also reflected in Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is, after all, we could say, an extension or an elaboration on the topics of Bhagavad Gita. Now, Sankhya philosophy, the atheistic Sankhya philosophy, their concept of Purusha and Prakriti is, even though they speak of Purusha and Prakriti, but they don't consider that there's actually a supreme personality of Godhead. Oh, that's, by the way, Paramam Purusham Divyam, that's that term in Bhagavad Gita, corresponds to the supreme personality of Godhead. The proper understanding is of the Supreme Personality, and all else that exists are His energies. There is Shaktiman, the possessor of energy, and Shakti, which means His energies. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the source of all potencies. They're all dependent upon Him. And they are all meant for His enjoyment. And the example is given, male and female, of in the sexual act, the male is the enjoyer and the female is the enjoyed. So this is the essential understanding of the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and of His relationship to everything else and our function as jivas in respect to Him. So this function is particularly emphasized by the Gauriyas. We can practically say that the whole or the crux, the essence of the Gauriya philosophy is Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Balai Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premana. That Prem, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established as the Prayojana, the ultimate need of every living being, that is distinguished from mundane lust. Mundane lust means to wish to satisfy, gratify one's own senses. And prema means the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses. So that is based on the understanding that Krishna is the enjoyer and all ourselves and all others are to be enjoyed. This is our constitutional position. So throughout the Vedic literature that understanding is there, but it's specified in Gauriya Darshan. Darshan. Use that word darshan for philosophy? Yeah. It's not exactly philosophy in the way the Western, but what can we do? We're using this English language. Just like, for instance, we'll find here in Vishnu Sahasranam, there are several names of Vishnu in relation to yajna. Yajna Bhuk means the enjoyer of the sacrifice. Yajna Purusha. Yajna Purusha means the person who is worshipped in yajna, and Yajna Bhuk means the enjoyer. Here Purusha can also mean the enjoyer. So in Vedic culture, the Vedic culture is centered around sacrifice. This is a very important understanding, which very important to help us understand the whole context in which Shastra, we're studying Shastra, but in a context in which the concept of yajna, even within Indian culture, the concept of yajna has as this center of all human activities is largely lost. But that all dharma, artha, and kama, particularly these three, the of the Chaturvarga, or the Purusharthas, they are, they culminate, or they're intimately linked with yajna. Even karma, what is that? In Bhagavad Gita, that, anyway, I'm not remembering. So, this is a side point anyway. That when karma or desire, which means fulfillment of desire, is stated in the Chaturvarga, that doesn't mean just grossly going off and enjoying one's senses. It means enjoying the senses according to dharma, and the facilities for doing so are provided by the demigods who are satisfied by yajna. This is the understanding. So Krishna is the yajna purush, and in all the Vedic literature that he is, Vishnu is the purusha, the enjoyer. The understanding that he is the enjoyer, this is particularly the Gaudiya contribution, that he's the yajna purusha, that in all yajnas, whether it's termed Indra yajna or whatever, whoever the yajna is superficially offered to, the first person worshipped is Vishnu. So the understanding that actually the yajna and everything else is meant to be done for his pleasure, not simply to, what's the word? I can't remember that. To supplicate him, that's the word, supplicate him, to get some material facility. So that is the understanding that takes one from karma yoga or karma mishra bhakti to shuddha bhakti. That actually Krishna is, everything is meant to be done for his pleasure. Krishna arte akhila cheshta. This is the, I was saying, atendriya priti vancha, this is the mool sutra, the essence of Gaudiya understanding. Even that can be condensed even more into Krishnate akhila cheshta. All endeavors should be for his sake. Now, Purusha means the giver of the seed. In the male-female understanding, these two are symbiotic. Means they come together, and the sum total, what is formed is from the two is more than that of the two if they were separate. So Purusha means the giver of seed, and Prakriti means that in which it develops. So in Bhagavad Gita we have Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam, that Krishna is the indestructible seed that I discussed yesterday. So all these terms, they're interlinked. We'll find also Bija, there's one name there, one name of Vishnu. In Gaudiya understanding especially, maybe in others also, but Gaudiya certainly emphasizes, that the Paramatma means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but specifically means the Vishnu in his function of maintaining the universe as Karnadakshai Vishnu, the Paramatma or the Supersoul of all the universes, Garbhodakshai Vishnu as the Supersoul of any who is manifest in each particular universe, as the Supersoul of that universe, and Kshiradakshai Vishnu, the Supersoul located within the heart of every living being and within every atom. So these three forms, they're also known as the Purusha avatars, these three Purushas. And in the Purusha Sukta, a primeval Vedic hymn which is echoed in Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, we find the description of the Purusha. which corresponds to Garbhodakshay Vishnu, means the primeval person of the universe without whom the universe doesn't function. So, Prakriti is there, but without the Purusha, Prakriti cannot be activated. So Purusha means who activates Prakriti or who fulfills Prakriti. Prakriti, in the example of a woman, means that a woman, the function of her body is to give birth to a child, to produce. But that is not possible unless she receives the seed from the Purusha, from a male. So Purusha is a general term meaning person, but specifically Krishna is Uttama Purush, more commonly known as Purushottama, Param Purush, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam. Now the word Purusha also can also be understood in various other ways, which Sanskrit is such a language that it can be analyzed in various ways. Purusanoti iti Purushaha. One who gives bliss in plenty, specifically the enjoyment of the bliss of himself to the liberated persons, he is known as the Purusha. So the bestower of bliss means Purusha, or Purusha means bestower. Then Purisete iti Purushaha, one who reclines. So there you get the Purusha avatars. They're all lying on the snake body of Ananta. Pura means also Purva, previously. So Pura Asit iti Purusha, one who existed previously, which means he existed before anything else existed. That is also a meaning of Purusha. Pura Asit. And Pura also means to complete something, just like we have, what is it? Puriyati iti Purana. So means the Purana means that which completes the Vedic knowledge. So Puriyati iti Purusha, one who completes and fulfills everything else. Everything is incomplete without Krishna. Whatever may be there, however good it may seem, however powerful it may seem, however perfect it may seem, however attractive it may seem, it is incomplete and imperfect without Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gave that example of many zeros. Many zeros, you may fill up pages and pages and pages and pages with zero, 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 but it's all zero. If you put one in front, then it becomes a very big number. So Srila Prabhupada gave this example about modern civilization in the West, in America in particularly, which is very developed. But Srila Prabhupada saw it all as one big zero. But Srila Prabhupada would say, if you bring Krishna, Krishna is the one that will make all your achievements fulfilled and worthwhile. And without that, it will all simply be zero. So who completes and fulfills everything? Nothing is complete. Nothing is perfect without Krishna, however good it may seem. This is a very important point. Yeah, Puru Sanoti, yeah. One who gives in plenty, he abundantly gives. Srila Prabhupada he quoted his father, that God has 10 hands and you only have 2. So if he wants to take away from you, how can you resist him? And if he wants to give you, how much can you take? He gives in abundance. So that example is also given of the woman walking in the forest with the bundle of firewood on her head, and it dropped down, and she was, oh, it all dropped down. I don't have any strength left to lift it back on my head. Govinda, Govinda, she cried in distress. Govinda came and said, yes, anything I can do for you? Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared, and she said, oh, Govinda, put this firewood back on my head. He can give anything, but we are fools, and we don't take his real gift. He can give in abundance, but because our conception is so limited, we ask him for very insignificant things. At Tirupati, so many people go to Tirupati. Help me pass my exam. Help me get a better job. Help me get a better wife. Something like this. So asking for material benedictions. But Krishna himself shows what we should aspire for when he lies down on a leaf in the water of devastation in his baby form. Like any baby, he sucks his toe. So this is what we should aspire for, is the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, which Krishna himself tastes. Very nice. All my devotees like it. It must be good. So Krishna licks his own toe and finds it's very nice. So Krishna can give in abundance. Why should we desire anything else? Purusanoti iti purusha, one who gives in plenty. Puru means plenty, sanoti means the giver. Puruni palani sanoti, dadati iti purusha, one who gives plentiful results. So, what is that? Raso, it's written wrongly here. Raso vaisaha rasam hi evam labdva anandi. Labdhvanandi bhavati. He is rasa. He is pure bliss. And having attained him, one becomes completely blissful. So, a meaning given by Shankaracharya, which we can accept. Navadwaram purang punyam etai bhavai samanvitam vyapya sete mahamayas tasmat purusha uchyate. So, because he resides within the body of nine gates, that's navadware pure dehi, it's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, the body of nine gates, the individual soul resides within the body of nine gates, which means the city of nine gates, which means the body. So, that definition is given in Mahabharata, and that also refers to the. So that can refer either to the jiva or to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he also resides. Puri sete, yeah. Same thing. Purisete iti purusha. Where are we going here? Purvam eva aham hi as. Yeah, that's the same thing. One who existed before. Purvam aham iham asam iti purushasya purushatvam. Navadvare pur. Yeah, so like this. These are some meanings of the term purusha. Hare Krishna. So that's all about, I'm going to say now, about Param Purusha, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, Krishna. Like to say anything more? Adi Purusha, original enjoyer, yeah. Yeah, we're all enjoyer, yeah, that's an important point. We're all, in this material world, we're all trying to be the enjoyer, but the actual enjoyer. We take a form within 84 lakh possibilities within this material world, and we attempt to be the enjoyer, but the Adi Purusha, original and actual enjoyer, who always remains in the position of the enjoyer, he doesn't become a non-enjoyer, or his enjoyment is not impeded, avyaya purusha, that is Vishnu. Yeah. Purusha means enjoyer. Yeah. Yeah. I studied that, didn't I?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Gauranitai ki jai. Hare Krishna. Yeah, actually this would make a good book. And we should give it to all the theologians.